WGN on the road with Dan, live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicago on what is closing in on, I don't want to say it right, it's not all, you know, it's not over, it's not almost over, we're just right in the meat of the 4th of July weekend, so get out there and enjoy the rest of it today and tonight and all day tomorrow. What a great weekend, what a great opportunity to get out there and not only celebrate, of course, our independence as a country and all of the things that made that possible and the men and women in uniform and sacrifices, and then all of the opportunities to get together with family and friends, and hopefully you're doing that around some, like a grill, you know, or something in the backyard, or getting out to some of our great restaurants and enjoying that. We've got a kind of a cool show. We've got a shortened show for you because I know we've got a remote down there near Guaranteed Rate, right? It's a Sox related remote.
Yes, it is, over at Cork and Carry.
Cork and Carry. So if you get a chance to get down there and see some of our other personalities down there at 3. So let's get right into it. I wanted to, of course, the smoke clear. We talked about it with Scott beforehand, the BBQ smoke down at Chicagoland Speedway. We mentioned the personalities. We're going to have a huge recap on all of that. Plus, we did finally get the pictures in of all of our people who won places and best meets and first through fifth. And so we'll be putting those online as well. Hopefully, they'll have them up at Chicagoland Speedway. As well, we did want to thank Ergo Chef, the great knives and things that they have, Grant Park Packing and Vince Maffey Smoke BBQ, Big Green Egg, Cinerama, Chicagoland Speedway. Ashley, your crew was great capturing a lot of those, the different talks and techniques. Yep. Dylan Leip with Pit Daddy Outfitters and a lot of those personalities. We're going to have even more on all of that as we get further. But the grand champion, we had the trophy from Speakeasy Customs. It got a lot of attention, and rightly so. I mean, it was a pretty amazing kind of blend of the barbecue, the grilling side, the competition side, but also all that hot rod custom car sensibilities and motorsports built into one thing. And Brian and Brendan Dwyer from the BBQ bus ended up getting into the contest a little bit late through some circumstances and ended up taking the whole thing home. We got a chance to talk to him as part of my segment with Bill and Wendy this week. And so we'll set it up. And so this is it. It's just a few minutes. Brendan gets on, gets to talk a little bit about the victory, breaking it down with not only me, but Bill and Wendy. Let's hear it.
Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder. Dane Neal comes by every other Wednesday, and we talk about a bunch of different things. Somehow, food comes up quite often, doesn't it, Dane?
Yeah, it does. And it was front and center in a big way, and combined with all the stars of motorsports and racing and outside and tailgating and all sorts of stuff for the BBQ smoke down at Chicagoland Speedway. Now, you guys have heard me talk a little bit about it
for years.
Now, it feels like it, right? But this is an event that we put together with the Speedway, and it happened just last weekend. And what it was, you know, 42 teams in a KCBS competition that gets them into the American Royal and in the draw for the Jack Daniels Invitational. It was demos with, you know, barbecue Hall of Famers like Myron Mixon, Ray Lampe, Chris Lilly, chop challenges with NASCAR drivers and a bunch of different stuff, and those teams, and they all competed, and one team reigned supreme. You guys have seen on social media and the pictures of the trophy by Speakeasy, and one team reigned supreme, and Brendan Dwyer, he was leading. Of course, his dad Brian is in on that, but Brendan was there with the BBQ bus, and they were the grand champions, and Brendan Dwyer is on the line with us. So Brendan, welcome to WGN, champ.
Yeah, thanks, Dane. I appreciate it, man.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
That is the coolest looking trophy ever, with a rack of ribs and a car.
Yeah, we loved it.
Brendan, I know you can't give away your secret, but what's your secret?
I wish I could tell. Keep it simple, stupid.
That's it? Yeah.
Yeah, they did it. Not only did that, you had some of the greatest teams and best teams from around the country, but Brendan's there with the BBQ bus. And it is a school bus. And before we let you go and have you give kind of the ways people can follow your adventures, talk a little bit about the bus. I mean, it's a school bus, so we've all been on them, but on the inside, it's not a school bus.
Yeah. So the front half is where we kind of sleep and relax. And the back half, me and my father, Brian Dwyer, actually tore it out and made it into a kitchen and a prep area. So we're able to cook in the back and hang out in the front, which is nice.
It was great to have you there, and I know all the Hall of Famers were excited to meet you as well. If you want to recognize the members on your team that were there with you and helping you cook?
Yeah, sure. So the original team the team right now is me and my father, Brian Dwyer. And then there's a couple people that I'd like to give shout-outs to that I think deserve recognition. One, Caitlin, my girlfriend, a lot of help this weekend and this season. She's making our magic chicken box now. Erica LeBaire is doing a lot of our social media stuff. Carly Galzunas, actually a master judge that kicks us into shape. Dylan Leip helped us get into this sport, and he's done a lot for us. And last but not least, Scotty Johnson is a barbecue legend. He's helped us along and really taught us a lot.
So, I went to kindergarten with Scott Johnson.
Uh-oh, really? You're disqualified, Brendan.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, you're disqualified.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, I've known him since kindergarten.
Wow. All right. Well, he knows a thing or two. Not only does he know Wendy, but a thing or two about barbecue as well. Mm-hmm. And last thing, and congratulations, let the listeners know, from 7 to 10 on 4th of July, we're going to have a big kind of 4th of July preview. We're going to kind of go in depth on some of the things as well. But for people who are hearing you now, want to follow your adventures, let them know where they can go.
Yeah, so the Instagram is, the handle is the_BBQ_bus, and then the Facebook is the Barbecue Bus at the Barbecue Bus 1. Also, real quick, I'd just like to give a shout out and congratulate Steve Hayden from 1-2 Barbecue. He's a great cook. He's an even better guy, and we attribute a lot of our success to what he's taught us this season.
All right. Brendan, really, really quick, you just said the words magic chicken box. I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't call you out on that. What does that mean, magic chicken box?
So my girlfriend makes the best kale box I've ever seen in my life. It looks like a putting green. I'm pretty sure you could stick a tee and tee off on it. So that's our magic chicken box.
All right.
There's no secret to it. It's just she's great at what she does.
All right. Very, very good. Right. Congratulations.
Thanks, Brendan. Congratulations, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you very much.
Congrats.
Brendan Dwyer, the winner. So the grand champion.
Yeah, so the appearance is a big part of it. And if you've got someone kind of styling your box when you open it up, the judges see it. And, you know, the first impressions are great to make. It sounds kind of nice, but it's not. It's the kale and the other things like that. All right, so here he goes. Congratulations to Brian and Brendan and the Barbecue Bus as the grand champs for the BBQ Smokedown. We're going to take a break, and we come back. Everyone in the world that loves food and festivals and beer and music and, of course, barbecue are excited about Windy City Smokeout is coming up. We're going to have Doug Saltis, the man behind it, over at Bub City coming on with us. So keep it here on the road with Dane, 720 WGN. WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio high atop Chicagoland, and coming up in the middle of July, one of the signature events, not only for Chicago and for Chicago barbecue fans, but for the country. I'll even venture out and say the world is Windy City Smokeout, and it is happening coming up July 12th through the 14th. The man behind it all, one of not only our great restaurateurs here with Bub City and all those fine folks at Lettuce, but also kind of one of the visionary creators on the cutting edge of the event side, the one and only Chef Doug Saltis. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you on. I know you're probably in Command Center, kind of figuring out all the logistics for that big event that started out as a great idea and has turned into really what is one of the most, I think, acclaimed and anticipated barbecue-related, music-related, beer-related events in the country.
Yeah, I know. We're excited about it. And I think, as you've seen us grow over the last 7 years, one of the things we're really excited about is how we've grown and the opportunity to grow into the United Center. You know, we're the premier and only real big show outside the stadium this year on the United Center's grounds, right on Madison and Wood Street, right? And, you know, the storied ground, right? And we're bringing in some of the best barbecue, you know, our best lineup ever, I think. And one of the things I think, Dane, you and I have really worked with and talked about over the last couple of years, all the young talent we bring in that kind of you get a little bit of mentorship and hang out with some of those legends that we started with. And, you know, this year our young guys, and some of them aren't as young, but new to us, it's like, you know, we have Hoodoo Brown coming from Ridgefield, Connecticut, who's just like, you know, this guy popped up on the scene about 4 years ago, and he's going to bring this slow poutine and his lambwich to Chicago, which is just incredible, right? And then to kind of keep spanning around the country, down in New Orleans, we have Blue Oak Barbecue, which is, I mean, they're going to do this crackling pork belly. They have this little kind of gumbo thing they're doing. It's like really, really, really fun, really great. Like just jovial approach to it, and then getting back to getting real serious from Brenham, Texas, Truth Barbecue. Now, Truth is a team that these guys, Leonard is the third generation restaurateur. You know, he's been in Austin, been in Houston. He's settled down in between both Dallas and Austin into like one of the epic barbecue joints where, you know, nothing touches it. It's just like a cathedral of barbecue. And he's building his reputation. He's got a following about him. We're lucky to have him up in Chicago. And rounding out that whole list, you know, with Louis Mueller coming back, who sets the tone, 17th Street, one of our legends, Patrick Fezzi. You know, of course, the infamous Fox Brothers from Atlanta, Georgia, and Little Miss Barbecue from Phoenix, Arizona. you know, we have our classics like the Barbecue Ninja, Peg Leg Porker.
Yes.
And a real guy who touches all people, James Beardwinner, Elliot Moss from Buxton Hall, Asheville, North Carolina, kind of just helps round out a mixture of legends, new people, and just the real cross-section of where barbecue is today and a sense of where it was yesterday with the Myron Mason, the Salt Lick, 17th Street, the Pappies and Sam Jones guys to get a chance to touch all those things.
Yeah, I mean, it's an all-star game. I mean, anybody who pays attention in any way to the barbecue world, and it's an all-star game, you've got, like, the cross-section of the country, and you find a way, like you said, to bring up some new and innovative, cool things that are happening to give people who kind of know and love what they're typically expecting. It's going to be there. Got some of those new things coming up. And then you also find a way, of course, and you got Myron there. You've got, you know, Salt Lick. You've got, you know, all of these big fan favorites. And then our local people too. Bub City, of course, you'll be front and center, but you got Lily's Q, you got Barry from Smoke. I mean, some of Chicago's favorites are front and center as well.
No, of course. I mean, that's, you know, that goes back to like what I touched on. We started with the Myron Mixes and Salt Lake, our legends. We started with the Smoke and Lily Q's and Bub City. And we've grown to have some great collections of local and the best from everywhere. And the real goal though is just to kind of let everybody know how great local barbecue is and just get them to taste the other best stuff around and understand where the best barbecue is. And a lot of that's here in Chicago. So when you see Barry Sorkin brisket, I mean, it's revered just as much as Salt Lick. When you see some of the, you know, the walking tacos and the tri-tip and the baby back ribs that Lily Q has done, I mean, it lines up there with the best. And the fun stuff is we love to do that. Bub City, we love to see what we are and get a chance to cook amongst the best, be evaluated amongst them, and just learn from them. So, hey, Dane, a lot of times you can go around to tournaments around the country, and you can see a lot of these teams, but never are they really engaged in the public, and they're a lot of times in competition and competing against each other. This is an event where everybody's working to do some great stuff together, present some stuff to the public, so they can take it and try the best stuff. And that's why you get these guys doing things that are just fun. You have a barbecue or taco from Leroy and Lewis. You got some smoked Gouda grits from Against the Grain. You know, you have an amazing, well, this is what I'm really excited about, is home team from Charleston, South Carolina. So these awesome fried ribs, you know. They're with their, they call it their death relish and Alabama white sauce. So it's like, I'm like, that's first time I played, I think.
I don't know.
Followed by like,
I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it, Doug, because, of course, the listeners are hearing we're talking with Doug Saltis, of course, you know, the man behind Bub City and everything that goes along with Windy City Smokeout, and in action, right? You are in it. You hear the police cars. You hear the kitchen moving. Like, you never stop. I don't know. How do you go out on kind of, like, recon missions in order to find the stuff? Do people approach you and you just vet? How do you discover and decide what to add to the Smokeout?
You know, we're lucky, you know, and people come and check us out in a lot of ways. People come and reach out to us. And some of our teams that became part of our barbecue family introduced us to these other great talents. And then myself and my partner, Pitmaster at Bub City, Christian Ekman, we spend our time traveling and checking these things out and kind of seeing what the real deal is. And when you find places in New Orleans like Blue Oak and you come across Truth in the heart and soul of Texas and they stand out to you and you come across Hoodoo Brown in Connecticut of all places, And they're excited about joining the Windy City Smokeout. I mean, how amazing is that?
Yeah.
You know, that's like, you know, it's like, it's just incredible that you have these people that are becoming icons and leading this barbecue movement that want to spend their time with us in Chicago and do what they do so well.
It's got to be very gratifying. Number one, to have an idea, have it be as well received as possible. You know, as well as anyone, the barbecue community is very close. It's tight knit. It's communal. You know, everybody does love and support everybody in a bunch of different ways. We get lost in the barbecue side of it, but on the other side too, here it is. Like, it's almost three distinct events. On the craft beer side, you have so much, even Ubon's, right? I contend that they make the best Bloody Mary on the planet. I don't know if it'll be available, but ask them when they are there. And then on the music side, so this is another thing that you do too, is you bring in some of these best acts, and somehow you've got a sixth sense too to find some of the ones that are about to become the next big superstars on the music side at the event.
I'd love to take your compliment. I'd love to take your compliment and say that I have a sixth sense, but I would just tell you we have one of the best partners possible and one of the best guys to be attached with and work with in country music, and that's Ed Warm. You know, Ed Warm has the relationships to bring in such superstars as Cole Swindell to close out the show this Sunday. He's got the reach to have the relationship and blow up our Saturday night with Old Dominion and to start the show off with Jamie Lee Decker, Eli Young Band, and Chris Young. And then you know mixed into the other 20 acts, 30 acts, that he's got 10 up-and-coming stars. And in 3 years, we'll be like, we saw them at the Soul Count.
Right.
Like we did Chris Stapleton, like we did Maren Morris and Casey Musgraves and Brett Eldridge and Old Dominion 5 years ago. And, right. and Eli Young Band their first year. When you see those guys, you're like, wow, we saw those. Ed Warm introduced those to us at the Windy City Smoke Out.
I don't know, cool. Doug. I'll have to say, I'll have to contend. You look at that lineup, you look at that cast list, that team photo, and maybe, just maybe, it was their appearance at Windy City Smoke Out that propelled them to that greater stardom. What do you think about that?
You know, we'd like to think so, but, you know, I think hey, we gave them a chance to perform, and they saw the response from us. I hope we gave them enough confidence to keep doing what they're doing, and they're doing incredible stuff. And it's an amazing alumni list. Incredible to see who we're discovering this year. And then it's just, you know, come on. To close the night out, to close the show out with Cole Swindell, yeah. To have a Sunday night with Old Dominion, opening up with Chris Young, it's amazing.
Yeah, it's got everything for everybody. Your music fans, they get packed in there. Barbecue fans, everything they could ever want, maybe even dream of. It's all happening there. WindyCitySmokeout.com for tickets. There's experience packages. There's VIP packages. We'll have links up at WGNRadio.com for that as well. But before we let you go, give one more time the new location and the place where people are going to experience all of it.
Hey, it's at the one and only storied ground of the United Center, the first outdoor music festival. Barbecue Festival, right there, Madison and Wood Street.
There it is. All right, we're going to let you get back to making people happy at Bub City and putting those final touches into what is the Windy City Smokeout. Is everything the barbecue world is going to converge there with the country music world, the beer world, and so many of those big fans as well. So, Doug, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for jumping on the show today.
Thanks, brother. You're the best of the best. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, it's Rutledge Wood live from Daytona, and you are on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Skyline Studio, high atop Chicagoland, and on the line with us a guy who is always in the middle of all the action when it comes to fast and fun and food with features as part of that amazing team in NASCAR on NBC. Live from Daytona, it is the one and only, the incomparable Rutledge Wood. Rutledge, welcome to WGN.
Dane, thanks for having me, brother. So glad to be with you.
Oh, it's great. It's great to have you. You know, we had the smoke has now cleared from Chicagoland Speedway, where we got a chance to see you there with so much fun. You know, they had the Pit Bike National with the motocross drivers, NASCAR guys. We had our BBQ smoke down. It was cool to get you out there to see some of you know, the Barbecue Hall of Famers, some friends, Panini Pete, Stretch, all those guys.
It was great. You know, the nice thing for me is, you know, I don't get to drop your name enough. And when I go to Chicago, I know if I just say Dane Neal sent me, then people go, oh, come on through. So when I went to the Barbecue Smoke Down, oh, you know, God. I said your name. They took me, they ushered me to the front of the stage. There was barbecue waiting. I mean, it was awesome. I love getting to see you there. You know, we have so many good friends that are in this world and people that love racing and great food. And so that they just did such an awesome job at that. But, you know, I wish you guys were down here with us in Daytona. It's so much fun down here, too.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about it. Of course, there's nothing like winning in the Daytona 500. You're immortalized forever. But you know what? Drivers, that is, you know, it's the world center of racing. And when any time that you can win a race at Daytona International Speedway, it's exciting for the drivers and for the listeners, too, that want to make those road trips. We talk about family road trips all the time. I have made that pilgrimage to Daytona many, many times. But for the listeners, tell them a little bit about what makes Daytona different, what makes it special, what fans see when they get there.
Well, you know, there's so many racetracks that are really special and unique, but I don't know if there's one that has the kind of culture and history that Daytona does. To know that you could go to the beach where, you know, NASCAR used to race on the beach and they would turn and run down A1A, and then for Bill France to say, you know what, I think we got to do this differently. I think we got to contain this. We got to build it up. And to get to go to Daytona International Speedway, to walk through the Toyota injector, to see what it looks like, it's hard to put into words what 2.5 miles really looks like at the World Center Racing. You see why they call it that. You know, to look at what they did with Daytona Rising and how they wanted to make sure the fans could see everything and get them even closer. without ever changing what was actually happening there, without changing the racing surface, is so impressive. And it's just, there's nothing like it. When you come down for speed weeks, you come down in July like we have this week, there's just something special. There's always something in the air there. So I always try to tell fans, it's worth all the trouble to get in the car, yes, to come down to see the ocean, to see some amazing racing, and really see where you're going to steer it.
Yeah, you think about it, too, and for those people that have been out there over the years, they have that renovation, that Daytona Rising. It is a palace now. I mean, that one deck where you can go there, and it's almost like, I don't know, it's just like a pavilion, but it's enormous, right? And it's got every kind of amenity that any fan would ever want. You know, they've got everything that you can. And if you haven't been there in the last 3-4 years or something like that, you got to make that trip down.
Oh, you have to. I mean, they've got something for everybody. And you know, to know you could bring your family out and they can have a good time. They can catch some shade, some air conditioning. They've got Wi-Fi that's tremendous down here. You know, they just want to connect fans to the experience. And I think Daytona really knocked it out of the park down here.
Do you think back when Lee Petty was winning, do you think they'd be promoting the fact that we've got great Wi-Fi here at Daytona?
Right?
That's
what. Who would have guessed that they were running convertibles around this track, and now look at us, what we do, and the speeds we go, and the connectivity. But that's what it's all about. You know, it's about bringing the fans that experience the way that they want. And you know, NASCAR fans are what makes all of this work. Without them, we're just a bunch of people in an empty parking lot. So I'm all for it. I think Daytona really has always put the fans first, but they just did such a tremendous job with this.
When it comes to sharing some of the festivities, you do that front and center all the time. Great features with the drivers and all sorts of things. But you are known, well, you're known for enjoying, you know, flannel plaid, for sure. That's one thing. But also for your for your festive attire. Now, this is, I think you got to step up the game even one level further, because not only do we have, you know, one of, you know, iconic event right there, one of the main masterpieces in racing, but also it's 4th of July weekend. So are we going to see a Rutledge Woods dressed maybe as Uncle Sam, or are you going to go just traditional flag blazer? What's it going to be?
You know, we have that charming thing that happens in Florida in the summer where at least once a day it's going to rain for 10 minutes and really change the humidity level. So here's what I'm going to tell you. My outfit's really just going to depend on exactly what happens about 20 minutes before we go on air, and that will determine it, because, you know, it's so hot down here. We had a scorcher, as you know, in Chicago last weekend. But I think it is there's no better place to celebrate the 4th of July weekend than on the beach in Daytona to see some great racing. The fireworks show they put on last night was amazing. It'll be even better tonight. So, yeah, I'm going to do my best to really crank the outfit all the way up.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about this on the manufacturer side. And NASCAR is always doing things to try to make the action more exciting for the fans, kind of tweak things, make it more challenging for the drivers, and also build in some parity, right? They want it to be close. They want to have everybody kind of represented in the best way possible. And on the manufacturer side, you look at that top 10, you've got 4 Fords, 3 Chevys, 3 Toyotas. Is it mission accomplished?
I think in a lot of ways it is. You know, it's interesting how one team will find something and it will really propel them for a year or a few months or a certain style of track that they really do well on. You know, Ford's been lucky to catch some super speedway success, and that Roush Yates power is really just, it's hard to believe that it's not squarely that. You know, Chevy's had some bobbles this year. Toyota's had some great successes. It always, that target moves so quickly for the teams that the moment one of them thinks, okay, I'm going to focus on this, then everybody starts looking over there, and then they go, no, it's actually way on the right. You're off on that, so then we go. So I think NASCAR has done a really great job of trying to make sure that, you know, we've simplified, finally, the inspection process and whether a car is legal or not. There's a lot less gray area, and I think that's a great thing for the fans, because ultimately, when you go to a race, you want to leave knowing who the winner was. And we say, oh, yeah, it's the car that finished first, but if the car that finished first had, you know, 20 different things that was wrong with it and it wouldn't pass, and let's find out then, not 4 days later. So I really applaud NASCAR for trying to simplify that, to try to create that purity. I do think we've got to always allow room for innovation, because really we wouldn't have this sport without it. Because if you look back at the moonshiners who were just trying to, you know, they were trying to make a living, they were trying to keep the lights on at their house, and they needed to go a little bit faster than the next guy to make sure they didn't get caught. You know, I think that innovation and creativity has always been rewarded. I hope that never stops.
I want to get your thoughts on the drivers. When it comes to the big three there, they're still front and center every part of the top five. But you're seeing Joey Logano, who came on, and you know he's always been a contender, but got in there, got his first championship, and now, of course, leading the pack, still in first. Is it the kind of thing you think that this is just where he is now? Do you think he's just arrived and he's going to be one of those contenders? Do you think this is, as crazy as it sounds, as we're half a year in, like residue from the championship? They had it dialed in and they kept it dialed in, or is this just what's going to happen? You think he's going to be there towards the end at Homestead?
Well, I really hope he is, because I love Joey. I'm a big Joey fan and like to call him a friend. But you know what's cool, I think, for Joey is that Joey's really come in to being comfortable with him and his style and how he races people. And you know, sometimes it makes people mad, sometimes it ruffles feathers, but it's kind of like watching Ryan Newman. A lot of people don't get why Newman won't let people pass him. And it's one of the things that I respect the most about him. Ryan Newman is paid to go out there and try to win races and finish the best he can. If he pulls over and just lets people go, then if I was his boss, I would think, you're not doing the job that I paid you for. So I commend Ryan Newman for taking that kind of attitude, and that's how he races people, because it is a race. And in that same sort of regard, you know, I think Joey now gets the respect that he deserves from a lot of people, and go, no, he is not only a champion, but he's a champion caliber driver anytime he's on the track. And I think you see that. And sort of to juxtapose that with someone like Martin Truex Jr., you know, Martin races differently than Joey does, and it doesn't make one good or bad. It just means they just race different. And I think that's what really makes a sport special and unique, is you can have a certain person that you really like who they are as a person and what their character's like. But then you might also say, but I really love this one way where this guy does a certain thing, or this gal, the way that she drives is a big thing. You know, you look at a guy like Ross Chastain, who's been making a lot of noise in Xfinity and trucks, and Ross is not a delicate driver by any means. A lot of guys are getting mad because they think he just kind of bullies his way to the front. But again, if I'm paying you to get up to the front and win, that's what I want you to do, and that's what I expect you to do. You're not out there to make friends. I don't, and to hear, you know, how you hear about drivers, oh, did you talk to him? No, but I texted him. Like, Cale Yarborough wasn't ever going to text anybody. David Pearson wasn't going to do that. You know, if you got a problem, you come meet me at the end of the hall or after the race. We'll talk about it face to face. And so I think, to me, I love watching this shape up. And still, when you see a guy like Kyle Busch, who is so disappointed to finish second, when you think of how many teams would love a second place finish, that to me is what makes Kyle Busch such a good driver and such an unbelievable competitor, because he's just that fired up about winning. And if you're not winning in his book, then you're losing. It's Ricky Bobby all over. If you ain't first, you're last.
You know what? You think about it when it comes to Ryan Newman. And here's the thing. You hear drivers grumble about this. That's why it's funny. That's why I laugh, because they'll always mention it. You know, even if in that particular race he's a lap down, he's not letting anybody pass him. People do get frustrated. But, you know, he's up front with it. Everybody knows that that's what he's doing. That's why he's doing it. It's great. When you talk about Kyle Busch, you know, you wonder, with all of the kind of entertainment factor that he brings to it as kind of a resident kind of bad guy, bad boy here, you have to sit back and really realize, as polarizing as he may be, that we are witnessing really one of the all-time greats kind of, you know, happening in front of us. He's just so talented in everything that he does. He's just that good.
He really is. And I think that's just how you have to look at it. You go, it's not about, you don't have to love who he is as a person. He doesn't have to be your driver, but man, he's good in the same sort of way that, you know, I still laugh and think, we watched Jimmy Johnson do the impossible in the shortest amount of time that anyone has ever won seven championships. It's insane. And he still is competitive. And to see the run he had last weekend, it makes people go, oh, no, he does still want to win. Yeah, of course he does.
Yep.
It just because a whole manufacturer isn't where they want to be, it doesn't mean one of the greatest drivers we've ever seen is ready to retire. No, it's possible that it's the car. So I think Kyle, Jimmy, all these guys, that's, we really are seeing some of the greatest driving the world's ever seen.
It is coming up tonight, 7:30 Eastern Time, 6:30 Central Time, Daytona International Speedway. The Coke Zero 400 in Rutledge will be there in some mysterious and certainly relevant to the weather attire, front and center. Last thing, Rut, before we let you go, you see it online, and I know you planned on taking it on the Hot Rod Power Tour. My parents did that for 10 years straight. And so let's talk a little bit about it. It's on social media all the time. Got a chance to hear it. It sounds absolutely amazing.
And I know you're excited too. It's that Continental Green Porsche RWB 911. It's like a work of art, right? This is a dream come true.
It totally is. I always wanted to own a car that looked like a Hot Wheels car, and the fact that we did that with this thing is unbelievable. It's a big build that took a lot of friends. Continental Tire helped sponsor it. It's got a Summit Racing provided GM Performance Crate motor. It's got a 525 horsepower LS3 in the back of a formerly air-cooled 911. And what's funny is that there's so many. I was never a Porsche guy. I've had lots of Volkswagens and tons of Toyotas and you name it, but I always thought it was like a Beetle with two more cylinders. Porsche people don't care for that, but that's how I felt about it. And so when you pull that air-cooled out and you stick this monster fuel-injected V8 in with a killer MagnaFlow exhaust, turns out it'll turn some heads, and it made a few of the purists mad, but the good news is it's not their car. So right. I love it. It's a monster, and definitely be on the Hot Rod Power Tour with us next year. I know people that are a lot closer to you will be able to go see it. It'll spend some time this winter at Summit Racing in Talmadge, Ohio, at their big headquarters. So, yeah, it's getting ready. We're going to do a little more work on it, get the interior all ready for SEMA out in Vegas. But I want to put as many miles on this monster as I can.
And people are going to be watching all the race action, and again, Rutledge front and center on NBC, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central. And last thing, if people want to follow your adventures with the cars, with the step vans, with all the stuff you're doing, of course, see the latest with Southern and Hungry on the Cooking Channel. Give out the social media so people can keep up.
Of course, it's Rutledge Wood, RutledgeWood. That's on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me on all of them. Dane, thanks for having me, man. Always love to be with you.
The best in the business, Rutledge Wood. Thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Thanks, pal.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Hey, this is Kevin Harvick, driver of the number 4 Jimmy John's Ford Fusion, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road. Live here in the Allstate Skyline studio, high atop Chicago, and a handful of minutes left, and we're going to kind of recap some of the fun that we've had for our 4th of July weekend, and also, too, as if we saw some of the promotion I had hoped to have. Sheetra Stern on. She is the visionary founder of Martin Hall Resorts in Portugal. And so they are family, and I want to say family friendly. It was family centric resorts. And we do transformative travel, family road trips all the time here. And I got an opportunity to go to Portugal and check out one of these things. And so, Ashley, of course, you're decades away from any kind of parental situation on the kid side. So you have a lot to look forward to, but you can schedule, if you ever decide to have kids, to open up your life and your heart to that next generation of
little rascals,
little Ashleys, this would be definitely a place to check out. And so I got a chance to and we're going to have Sheetra on at some point in the near future. So stay tuned for that, because she has such a perspective on trying to create these amenities. So this is an elevated resort. It's got all the kind of cool stuff that you'd want, as far as, the pools and some of the amenities and the food and the restaurants and things like that. It's nice, and it's right on the coast. So you got a beach situation to go along with all the pools. Now, here's the things that are different that you don't necessarily see. It's one thing to go to the front desk and ask for, hey, do you have, something that you need? You know, whether it's like a hair dryer or maybe something for the kids or, whatever kind of extra supplies in the room, in the room, whether it's a suite and they do these villas and they have, so it isn't necessarily just a room. Sometimes they've got sort of like a little mini kind of house that you can have. It's nice, but they've got the gates, like the childproof gates, so kids can't fall down the stairs.
Nice.
Built into it. In the bathroom situation, so I walked into the bathroom, and this wasn't anything that I had requested. I obviously didn't have anybody with me. I was by myself on the press trip. And so in the bathroom, there's a regular toilet. It's known as the mommy and daddy toilet. And this is at a nice elevated hotel situation. So the mommy daddy toilet, then there's another toilet, a regular real toilet, but it's just smaller downside, and I think it had a frog toilet seat. Then there's a little smaller kind of plastic one that, and of course we've got 3 kids, so we remember these things, where you can kind of sit down there and do your business. It's a little kind of a plastic seat. And then also within there, they also had a diaper genie. Are you familiar with what a diaper genie is?
Is that like a garbage can just for diapers?
It is, yes. Right. There's really nothing genie-ish about it, right? You don't get any wishes, and nobody comes out and helps. But what it is, yeah, it's like, well, Actually, that's exactly what it is. It's a garbage can for diapers. The way that it works is you drop the diaper in there, the dirty one, and I think you turn this little knob and it sort of takes what is a long sort of plastic bag and kind of twists them into kind of like the sausage situation.
So you don't have to smell it.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because that's really one of the major downsides of the diapers is you don't have to smell it. So they got that. So inside there, and they've got all these different things built in, the elements within, and then the food, and they've got like formula and things like that. So if you bring little kids, and sometimes it's tough to travel with them, you can go ahead and do that. And then they've got all these other situations. So in the restaurants, great food. You know, we'll have some pictures up at WGNradio.com. But how many times, you think to yourself, Ashley, have you been at a restaurant where some, parents are there with some kids and the kids are making it unpleasant for everybody? You know, they're crying or screaming or being bratty or running around.
I've been one of those kids recently, for sure. it does happen. And then you give them the dirty look, but then you think to yourself, oh, wait a minute. That was me at one point.
Well, see, that's you, because you're a thoughtful and considerate person. You try to put yourself in the place. But it's tough, for parents to wrangle the kids sometimes in some of those settings. And so oftentimes you just don't go and don't bring the kids to nice places because you know that it won't end well either for you or for the other diners. But here, so they've got these restaurants. And then, like, in the restaurant, when the kid gets done eating their chicken nuggets with the smiley face, inside of a few minutes, and you still have some extra courses or would like to have dessert or something, there's a playroom right off of the restaurant. Like, in the restaurant, like, their own glassed-in playroom with toys and things to do, or you can just kind of have them go right there. Yeah.
Wow, that's like, back to the diaper genie, like, people bring those with them places, maybe not to Portugal. It's kind of a hard thing to bring. But it's just good to know that you have things that fit your living needs.
And even this, and going over and above, so there's restaurants, there's even bars that overlook the play area where the kids can do the trampoline and the jumping and all that kind of stuff. And you can still see what's going on while you're enjoying a beverage. And it goes even to the point of lessons and activities. The kids can get taught to swim by the staff there. There's even a bike riding academy.
Oh, wow.
So if, let's say you're a busy traveler on the go, and the kids can, like, they'll have people. They have this whole huge area. It's about the size of, maybe a quarter of a, maybe it's not that, a quarter of a football field. It's a good amount of space for people to go ahead and ride. And it's all kind of foam padded, and you can have your kid learn how to ride their bike at the resort.
That's so cool. Yeah. I don't have any kids.
Now you just want to have them just so you can go.
Yeah, just so I can go.
So you can go to this resort.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah. I mean, for families, it's a time period where, if you don't have any kids, you can still enjoy it too. But if you do and you want to travel, it's definitely an option. Now we have the new nonstops from Chicago to Lisbon. So the first time ever we've had direct flights. I know people are going to be checking it out and look forward to talking to Sheetra as well. So we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come back. Then we're going to send it to our remote at the Cork and Kerry. It's on the road, 720 WGN.